Hello and welcome to A Sport in Discussion, your podcast that discusses sports of all sorts. I'm Andrew Donison and I am joined by a man who doesn't have the media chasing him. He doesn't want just a black Mazda to take him around. It is AJ Mithun.
Hello. Hi, Andrew. Hi, everybody. What a week. What another week. Bloody hell.
It is. It is. The black Mazda reference is to something that we'll be talking about. Usain Bolt and the Central Coast Mariners. We're also going to have a chat about the Davis Cup and tennis in general and what they're trying to do to revamp the game in the world's eyes. We'll look at the length of seasons, which AJ has written an article about on theraw.com.au, and Patrick Dangerfield, the AFL Players Association president, has come out and made comments on that.
That was a happy coincidence. Well.
Yeah. You and Danger, best buddies.
Best buddies.
And like last week where we spoke with Erin Delahunty in and put that out as a separate episode, we'll also be putting out two episodes this week, AJ.
Yes, we spoke with the author Ian Sison, who is the author of the book The Game That Never Happened, The Vanishing History of Soccer in Australia, which is a really fascinating look at how soccer has a deep and rich history in Australia that was cruelly cut down by the war, world wars.
And it was a surprise to me as to how far back it went as well.
So. He's got some fantastic he's unearthed some fantastic things in his book. We spoke to him and we've recorded that, and that's going to be released as a separate podcast.
But AJ, before we get into talking about Usain Bolt, let's pay the bills. Round four of the Club Roar Awards are now open. You can submit your videos for the chance to win a share of $10,000. What sort of videos, AJ?
Well, they're now open, but not for much longer. What sort of videos? Local sports videos. People having fun, you know, people enjoying themselves.
Yeah, everyone people doing good things.
Everyone having a nice time. Sometimes achievements, sometimes heartbreak. Sometimes funny things. I don't know. Whatever occurs in front of your video camera.
And The Raw, Australia's largest sports opinion website, is giving away $10,000 to local sports players just by sending in a video of you or someone else playing grassroots sports.
They'll promote the video on their Club Raw website and put you in the running for the Club Raw Awards. 10 grand on the line. Find out more by searching Club Raw or go to www.clubraw.com.au.
AJ,
we're getting better at those, aren't we?
Sorry?
Getting better at those, aren't
we? Oh, yeah. I want to talk A-League. Now, the A-League has, over the last couple of years, gone through an interesting period. I'd say stagnant. The crowds have been down and then probably level last year. The issues with the FFA probably haven't helped the administrative side of things, but we'll talk about that in another podcast. But AJ, Usain Bolt is trialing with the Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah, good.
Oh, hello. You don't think this is a good idea?
Look, PR stunts are PR stunts, Andrew. The Central Coast Mariners are in that stagnant period we were talking about. They sacked their coach, Paul Okon, last year with quite a ways to go in the season. Their crowds used to be quite large. They used to sell out the Central Coast Stadium with 15,000 or so with monotonous regularity. Now they're lucky to get half that. So they've reached into the back pocket and pulled out Usain Bolt. He'll be coming to do a trial as a trialist.
Yes.
And
with a whole range of other people.
With a whole range of other people. And if he proves his worth, he will be signed and put onto the squad. And you've got rocks in your head if you think they're not going to offer him a contract.
So Usain Bolt has talked about playing soccer before, hasn't he? Like over the past 4 years,
it's been busy with other things. He's been,
but it's this isn't just something random that he's decided he wants to do. He's had an interest. This
isn't an Andrew Johns playing cricket for New South Wales in the 2020 comp way back when. Or Jared Hayne having a dream and going off and doing something else. He's actually been playing cricket and football, soccer, his whole career, just not to highly competitive standards because he's obviously got something more important to do, which is run fast.
Yeah, and look, as you said, run fast. He is the fastest person who has ever lived over a period of 100 metres. And that's a pretty handy talent to have on a soccer field. But
well, it is. But remembering there's an offside flag, you can only be as quick as the flag will let you be.
Well, no, they can use it to their advantage, and they can actually set themselves up a lot closer to halfway than a normal team would. Just lob the ball over and let Usain Bolt sprint down. I don't know how his hamstrings are going to go with the sprinting, stopping, twisting, turning.
Sprinting on the rock hard Central Coast Stadium in the middle of summer, where it's 38 degrees, blazing sun. But anyway, what do you think of it, Andrew? I'm not entirely a fan.
Not entirely? You hate it.
I would much rather watch Keisuke Honda plying his trade for the Melbourne Victory. That is a recruit that you get into the A-League to get people genuinely excited.
I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think that Central Coast a genius move by them. However they've managed to do it is completely and utterly brilliant because it's got them in the papers. It's got interest. And you say that they'll have rocks in their head if they don't sign him. I think that...
Oh, they'll sign him. This whole trial thing is a charade.
Well, but it's a really good charade because they could have just come out and signed him and then that would have been media circus for 3 days and they're done.
Think about what happens when he's a mediocre trialist and it's all over the news and then they offer him a contract anyway.
Doesn't matter. It's Usain Bolt. If Usain Bolt is playing football, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
Yeah, it's like Andrew...
Hey, look, don't get me wrong. I understand the...
I know, you're just a cynic and you're a grump and I don't know. So he's tried out with teams in Germany, Norway and South Africa before.
He didn't try out in Germany. That was part of a promotion for the Puma Athletic Company.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was with BVB, what are they called? Can't remember, Borussia Dortmund or one of those teams.
Right.
Apologies if that was the wrong team to our German listeners.
But I think that it's brilliant by Central Coast to have got him. I think it's a great marketing ploy now. If it works...
Well, let's talk about that then.
All right.
When they do sign him to a contract,
yep,
he ain't going to come cheap. He's obviously not a poor man if he's managed his money and endorsements wisely.
True.
But he's going to command some fairly serious coin, you would imagine, for a period in the A-League. Do you think Central Coast should pony that up themselves, or should the FFA get involved in that as well? Because the FFA
should absolutely get involved.
FFA have paid a fairly significant whack of the overall marquee fund. For Keisuke Honda.
They paid more than 50% of their entire marquee fund.
1.6 mil they've contributed to Keisuke Honda.
And what's the total marquee fund?
I think it's 3 mil?
Yeah. It's insane. And
But what do you say? You're not answering my question.
Of course the A-League should pony up. The FFA should pony up. The Central Coast Mariners should pony up.
They would look like... the FFA, if they kicked into that, would look like absolute fools.
No, not at all. It is bringing promotion that no one else could ever bring, worldwide interest into the A-League.
But is it interest or is it, hey, come and look at this circus down under?
Who cares?
My question, what I want to ask you is it sustainable interest or is it just wackadoo, hey, look, Usain Bolt was here doing this and now all of a sudden he's been offered double the money to go and play in the Qatari League and he's gone?
Yeah, and hopefully a number or a percentage of the people who came to watch Usain Bolt will go, oh, this is actually really good fun. I like watching the sauce bottles run around the ground. And
do you think the kids in the stands will be watching there going, oh, wow, that's Usain Bolt. I'm going to go take up soccer.
Yes. I'm going to watch soccer. I'm going to take up soccer. Yeah, it's going to bring a huge amount. Central Coast Stadium, the capacity is 20,000. They're going to fill that every single week if Usain Bolt plays.
We're putting a marker here.
Don't care.
Bring that back.
Just as cynical and grumpy as you are,
it's cynical marketing campaign, but I'll watch it. Everyone's
going to watch it. It is going to be brilliant.
And they are going to give him a contract. I don't know why they're even pretending that, oh, he's just a trialist. You know, he might not make it. Unless there's an agreement.
On the front page and the back page. Say in the paper.
Unless there's an agreement under the table where Usain trials and doesn't make it, but you know they've paid him an under the table marketing bill or some marketing.
Oh, fund. Please, again with your cynicism. No, he's just coming over here because he wants to play footy. He wants to play football. Now, AJ, I'm going to ask you a question about marquees, and it relates to the payment that the A-League are paying for Honda to play for the Melbourne Victory. Sydney FC, they themselves have, over the last few years, and Melbourne City as well, have ponied up for some pretty significant names to play.
Yep.
Now, do you think that they are a little bit annoyed that their away matches are going to get a lot of people to them because they're bringing these big names?
No, that's the whole point of the... That's the whole point of the league.
Yeah, but...
And the marquee fund and all of that.
Well, yeah, no. So without the marquee fund, so Sydney FC, for example, if they pay someone out and the marquee fund doesn't cover it...
Oh, you're talking about the other team getting a bigger gate and making more money and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point. They encourage that. They want that to happen.
No, I know that the FFA does and the A-League does, but...
No, I'm talking about the individual clubs. Melbourne Victory aren't going to go over to Perth and Honda plays... And a whole bunch of people come to watch. Melbourne aren't going to go back and, oh, that sucks. They get a lot of money because we got this really good player.
Well, no, of course not, because they only pay a little pittance.
It's a bizarre approach to me. It doesn't happen anywhere in world sport. Anywhere.
Yeah. I think that the fact that they've paid Honda so much, I'm interested to see who else gets paid out of this this fund and how many players it is and how much they pay, and then how much individual clubs would then have to go, oh, bugger, we have to pay our marquee player the full amount because the marquee fund is gone, and also how much of that marquee fund would go to Usain Bolt?
Well, it should be zero.
Should be all of it. All of it. AJ, it is all about disruptive technology these days, and you love to spruik VoiceBite. So tell me and tell the listeners what it is and what they can do.
Well, we've started up, we've got some help from the very good people at VoiceBite to get the listeners able to give us some audio clips rather than just a tweet or a Facebook post or an email or stopping us in the street and slapping us in the face, which I believe has happened to you a couple of times.
I'm not happy about it, but hey.
We ask for people's opinions.
If you've got a strong opinion, that's fine.
Please keep it to sport, though. Our weight is off limits. We've partnered up with VoiceBite, who have put together a little platform for us so that you, the listener, can leave us a 15 or so second audio message. Every now and again, you'll see on our Twitter feed at ASD_radio or on facebook.com/asportingdiscussion a record button. And when we post that record button, hit that record button, log in through Facebook or Twitter, or you can set up your own VoiceBite account and let us have it. Give us your opinion on the big sporting topics of the week. Leave a question, your statement, comment, doesn't matter. Whatever you want to say, really.
And we had our interview with Erin Delahunty last week about the Super Netball finals, and we did have a comment come through via VoiceBite.
Christy got onto us through VoiceBite, and let's hear what she had to say.
Love netball, live for netball, can't wait for the finals, love Super Sun Court netball. Let's go Giants, even though I miss Shandog. Come on, Shani. Come back. We miss you.
The Giants, they're still there.
They're in the preliminary final this week against the oh, what are they called?
Sunshine Coast Lightning.
Yeah.
So last year's premiers, the Sunshine Coast Lightning, they stayed in the hunt by beating the Queensland Firebirds
in a mild upset. Should be said, the Firebirds were fancied, not highly fancied, but fancied.
Yeah, and the Lightning only, as we talked about last week, they scraped in or they got into the finals due to the victory in the last round. Game of the season.
But anyway, that's what a voice bite sounds like. So thanks, Christy. There's a few more that we'll visit over the next couple of weeks on a range of different topics, but download the voice bite app when you see the record button on @ASD_radio or facebook.com/thesportingdiscussion. Hit record and give us your thoughts. It's a pretty cool way to vamp up the podcast a bit.
That it is, AJ. And speaking of vamping things up a little bit, the International Tennis Federation are trying to make things a little bit different, a little bit more exciting by getting rid of the 118-year-old Davis Cup.
Hang on, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. Getting rid of the Davis Cup.
So after 100...
The trophy or the competition?
The competition.
Because I remember we spoke about the wanting to be a World Cup of tennis a little while back, but is this, they're bringing that in place of the Davis Cup?
Well, so the World Cup of tennis is going to happen in 2019. So that's a separate thing.
I'm completely lost there. Help us out.
But that might then get subsumed into this brand new format. So for those who don't know, the Davis Cup is the premier international team event in men's tennis. It's contested annually. It's a knockout format. You can be in the world. I think there's the world group and then there's group one and group two and group three, and you make your way up. There's 16 countries in the world group, and eventually it comes to basically an end of year finals against the two top nations. But after 118 years, AJ, instead of going for a year and probably being played over a lot longer than that, because as you work your way up through the groups, it will be played during a one-week period.
The whole Davis Cup.
At the end of November, after the ATP finals in London. So it's the traditional Davis Cup final week, but there's going to be a 16 nations will automatically qualify, and then there might even be 18 teams that will compete in round-robin groups.
Come on, sort it out. Is it 16 or 18?
18 teams in round-robin groups, direct elimination draw starting from quarterfinals. So it'll be, this broadly the World Cup of tennis.
So it's a World Cup of tennis you're having when you're not having a World Cup of tennis.
Exactly, and it's called the
Davis
Cup.
What the hell are they doing? And it's called the Davis Cup, and then the following year there will be an actual World Cup of tennis.
I imagine that World Cup of tennis will get subsumed into this, because it's only going to vote at the moment.
So who plays then? Is this going to be mega star Federer, Nadal, Kyrgios, all of that playing? Or is it going to be your... what's the bloody name for the Australian fellas who, the jobbers who come in and just look after the doubles and the Wayne Arthur's type. I've gone completely blank on the name. Sam Groth, guys like that.
But no. So
Sam Groth's actually retired from tennis, I think, but I'll have to check that.
Yes. Well, no, he has. But currently this week in the ITF, the International Tennis Federation, are actually meeting to vote on this. They need a two-thirds majority to change basically 118 years of tradition. ITF President David Haggerty has said this is a complete game changer for the ITF and for tennis. Our vision is to create a major season-ending finale that will be a festival of tennis and entertainment featuring the world's greatest players representing their nations to decide the Davis Cup champions. This new partnership will not only create a true World Cup of tennis, but will also unlock record levels of new investment for future generations of tennis players and fans around the world.
Will it, though?
Yep.
But will it, Andrew?
Well,
I'm asking you, not the press release.
Well, no. If the 25-year, $3 billion partnership by investment group Cosmos have anything to do with it, then yes.
All right. Well, I'm not asking Cosmos and I'm not asking the media staff who wrote that. I'm asking you, is this the future of tennis? Is this where things are going?
Absolutely love it.
Is there ever anything you don't love?
Not really.
Okay.
Is there anything that you
tell
like?
Tell me why you love it, though.
Bringing all of the best players in the world together in a one-week tournament to determine who is the best tennis nation. It'll be awesome to watch. Just like 1 week, bang, here are all of the top players just slugging it out. It's going to be brilliant. I love it.
How many games are they supposed to play in that 1 week?
It's hard to say because it hasn't been determined that they're actually going to do it. So,
just curious.
Tennis Australia.
All the greatest tennis players in the world representing 18 countries playing in a week.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, look, they might even do it over 2 weeks once they get to figure it out.
Tennis people are pretty good at logistics, so it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Tennis Australia opposed to it, and they'll vote against the amendments. Now, the big one is Tennis Europe. They're against it, and they represent 50 member nations.
Well, that'll be
ahead of the vote, it's believed that the opposing nations do number greater than one third, so they won't necessarily get their two thirds majority, but it's out there and I love it. I reckon it's going to be a brilliant thing because I don't really care about the Davis Cup.
Oh, that's right. In its current form. I don't either. We don't usually follow tennis week to week throughout the year.
I follow tournaments.
There's a tournament every week. Well, we've talked about
before. I follow majors.
There's a tournament every week. There's a major every quarter.
Yeah. And then there'll be a World Cup.
I don't know. Do you think people will embrace it or do you think people will just see it as... Because remember when they introduced those end of year top eight tournaments? I can't remember what they're bloody called. Where the winner gets...
I think that's the ATP finals.
Finals? Yeah.
I think that's those. Where the winner gets like $1 million or something.
Yeah, but people don't... I don't know if they've really been taken seriously as the, you know, grand final of tennis.
Well, they haven't because they're not. But now, the World Cup of tennis.
So the World Cup of tennis is there.
It's
going
to be brilliant. Stop being so cynical, old man.
I'm not cynical. I'm going to be interested to see how this goes.
AJ, you and Patrick Dangerfield have something in common. What is it?
Season length, Andrew. Season length and game length. Well, game length in the AFL, season length in the NRL and AFL. And I would even throw Super Rugby in there as well.
Okay. I'm not sure about Dangerfield's thoughts on Super Rugby, but we'll lump it in there. Now, you wrote an article this week on theraw.com.au about the NRL season being too long.
Far too long.
Far too long.
Yes.
All right, so...
Got to throw an emotive word in the headline just to get the clicking coming through.
Oh, you clickbait merchant. Hey, you've become everything that you hated. What is the issue with the length of the season?
NRL season this year is 25 rounds over 26 weeks.
Yep.
With the week, usually it's 26 rounds, with State of Origin scattered among it.
Yep.
What got me going here was that the NRL came out and announced their season calendar earlier this week, and they said the State of Origin series is on. Okay, great. Standalone game two in Perth.
Yep.
Off you go. The Indigenous All-Star game is back in February.
Yep.
There's going to be an end-of-year Trans-Tasman test between Australia and New Zealand.
Yep.
There's going to be an end-of-year International Nines tournament, which is really good. That could be pretty cool.
Yep.
Rather than having club-based nines, have international nines.
Okay.
Yep. And there'll also be, during the Origin period, international games, you know, Tonga, Samoa, all of the England, UK to England, all of that. And then on top of that, you add a 26-week NRL season, 25 or 26 week NRL season. Now, what I discovered looking for the column was I wanted to find the extreme example of someone who'd played the most games, and it was Cameron Smith from the Melbourne Storm.
Makes sense.
Even someone like an honest toiler or someone like that ends up playing 20, 22 games or something like that, even if they don't make finals.
Okay.
Cam Smith in 2017 between March 2017 and February 2018. He played 23 NRL matches, 3 Origins, 7 internationals, which included a World Cup, a World Club Challenge game. And that World Club Challenge game was in February, and then 2 weeks later, the season kicked off on March 8. Now, March 8 start of an NRL season is just insane.
Why is it insane?
Well, it's in extreme heat periods.
Right.
Rock hard grounds out in Western Sydney, in Penrith as well.
Yep.
40 degrees, you know, 40 degree games. I think Parramatta and Penrith played the first game this year out in at Penrith Stadium, and it was, I think, 39.
Yeah, it's, that's
and
hot.
And stinking hot. And the what are they called? The rules around whether you're supposed to be allowed to let people play or not.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. There's some
fancy, the heat rules.
Heat rules, let's call them that. Said that that game should have been either postponed or not played.
But they played it anyway.
They go. And it happens all the time.
Because it's rugby league and they're men.
Rugby league, mate. But so that's 35 games Cam Smith played in 11 months or so. 35 games of fairly high intensity, blokes belting into each other.
So what's wrong with
rugby
that?
League? There's too many. It's
yeah, but why though?
Because the impact on the body is too bad.
Right. So are we seeing a spate of late season injuries in the rugby league?
And well, it's not
teams
just that.
Not being at their best for finals.
We're seeing injuries, but we're seeing the players who come in to cover those injuries not being, you know, they're not prepared for the top level. They're not. What's the word? Yeah, they're there to fill in for a week or two. They're not there to fill in long term.
Yep.
When they come in long term, they get fatigued, then they start breaking down as well. And there's a problem in the NRL where if a team wants to replace someone who's in their top 30 players,
yep,
the main list, if you want to call it that,
yep,
they have to ask for special dispensation from the NRL to bring someone in, like a junior, you know, under 19 or under 20 kid. And the NRL can say, no, you've got enough blokes there who can play in that position.
So you can't actually just give someone a rest.
No. Well, you can, but as long as you've got someone in the top 30 list.
Yeah, but if there's no one in the top 30, if you want to rest your 3 hookers from your top 30, you can't.
And you
then
want to bring in another hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah. The NRL will say, no, you've actually got 3 hookers got 3. There.
Who, so, yeah, but they're tired.
Yeah. So I guess the season's too long for the NRL because there's too much damage going on. And in the period we're in now,
yeah,
games are starting to, you know, slow down. Not all that interesting, not all that exciting. The teams that can manage themselves well are in the top 4 and all that are like, they're in holding pattern.
Yeah, that is waiting.
They're trying to hang on for like an 8-week period for the finals.
Yeah.
Before there's, you know, they just don't want to get busted.
Okay.
And I think, you know me, I'm a big believer in shorter is better for sports. And I think if they can shorten the NRL season up, the opportunity for more games that mean something,
yep,
is much more better. I mean, we've spoken about this with one-day cricket. We've spoken about it with all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's got to mean something
for people to want to go. People will still watch because everyone watches sport, but just think how many more would watch if there was more riding on it.
Oh, absolutely. And so I agree with the shortening of the season. I'll go from an AFL perspective. And for me, it's the fixture. It's uneven. And it's just not a fair fixture. It doesn't actually show who are the best teams. So let's take Melbourne.
Well, that's why it's called a fixture, because they need to. It's not a draw. They have to use it to maximise their commercial gains. And the NRL is the same.
Yeah,
well, but we're not here on a sporting discussion. We're not naive enough to think that you know, things like that aren't.
Considered. Oh, God, no. Dollar.
Everything
dollar
the
bills.
Dollar.
But, so, Melbourne Football Club, they're currently sitting 7th on the ladder. Their performance against the top 9 teams, so the other 8 teams, they've played 7 matches and they've lost all of them. Against the current bottom 9, they've played 13 matches and won 12 of them. So, their position is being inflated because they've played more games against the lesser teams. Collingwood is in a similar situation. Hawthorn Geelong are in. Geelong have played 12 matches against the top 8 teams.
Yeah, but that's just a quirk, isn't it?
No, but it has to happen because they're playing 22 matches and there are 18 teams. So what you should
Geelong's 12 games does seem extravagant, but it's just a quirk of how things are panned out, isn't it?
We, but it has,
pulling out a stat like,
but it'll happen
against top eight teams because they're not getting drawn. I mean, the AFL makes the draw harder or softer depending on how many top eight teams you played the year before.
Or, yeah, or where you finished the year before. But, yeah,
but that's at the end of the year.
But it shouldn't. Let's make it a 17-round season where you play every other team once. Then that will be a true reflection of who is the best team and who you'll finish on your position on the ladder based on the teams that you play, not based on the teams that you play twice.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my contention. But do you think,
again, though, it's not going to happen with,
of course
with the cash. But it's interesting to say, one of the things, I mean, AFLW was a proposal not long ago that they would cut two games from the regular season to allow for the finals for 2 weeks of finals.
I'll cut one game from the regular season and add one round of finals.
Yeah, okay, all right.
But they've got two extra teams.
So it was six regular season games and 2 weeks of finals for 10 teams.
Yep. Insane. Ridiculous.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Why?
Because in my world, you play everyone once or you play everyone twice. The only reason that the AFL plays 22 games is because it used to be a 12-team competition. So you would play everyone home and away throughout the season, and there was your 22 rounds.
Yeah, and it's just right. And you'd knock, you'd have everyone home and away, and that was that. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the old rail gauge system again. We're just sticking with 22 rounds because that's the way we've always done it. No, fans want to see a genuine, even competition. Now, yeah, it's going to cost money. You're not going to get return matches with Carlton Collingwood, Essendon Collingwood, Carlton Richmond, Fremantle West Coast, Adelaide Port, Hawthorn Geelong. Fine. But what you can do
is make them even bigger events.
Exactly. Make them bigger events. Utilize the other weeks to do something. Like, if you look at it this year, and this would never fly because of the amount of dollars that are in the broadcast rights. If you work back from grand final day being the last Saturday in September, 4 weeks of finals, 17 games, so everyone plays each other once, you could have the season start on Anzac Day. So Collingwood versus Essendon on Anzac Day. Even have this year's grand finalists start the season, which I think is what they should always do.
Yeah, I reckon that's what they should do too.
That would also allow a 9 week plus 2 week finals AFLW season with the grand final of the AFLW being on Anzac Day Eve. Now that would be cool.
Well, so, there you go. That's an easy solution.
Exactly. And it starts on Australia Day weekend. So it only has one weekend of crossover with the tennis, which is one of the reasons that they're giving for not pushing the AFLW earlier. So I agree with you that the season's too long, but for me, it's a fairness thing. Everyone should play each other once, or bugger it, have a 34-week season. Play each other twice.
And no finals?
No, you'd have finals then.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting.
34-week season is never going to happen.
Yeah, that's more likely to happen than a 17-week season. Mm. But what about the length of games, AFL games? Because AFL drags on and on and on and on and on. Games used to be 25 minutes quarters plus time on.
Yep.
They reduced that to 20 minutes plus time on, and the game is longer than ever.
It's bizarre. That I don't understand.
I don't understand that either. Why do they bother having time on in the first place? And why does halftime go for, I think it's 25 minutes?
I don't think it's
20 minutes or something like that? That's pretty ridiculous.
I'd be all for a shortening of the game. I don't understand how it's gone for an extra 5 minutes a quarter when they've taken 5 minutes off a quarter.
Yeah, that's bizarre. There's still quarters going for 35 minutes.
Yeah, well, there's quarters going for 32 minutes when only two goals are scored.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I think the game just drags on and on and on and on and on. It's almost impossible to watch on television now, the AFL, and that's reflecting in the ratings. The ratings on Fox Footy are in the toilet, and the ratings on Channel 7 have got well down as well.
So, but on that, though, the crowds have never been bigger, and also with the TV ratings, I wonder what sort of impact the Commonwealth Games, the World Cup, other big events have had, plus Carlton playing on Friday nights.
No, I think it's commentary, but we'll get to that another time. We'll talk about that another time.
All right.
That might do us for this week, Andrew. We've covered a bit of ground. We've laughed. We've cried. We've shared some angst.
Usain.
Dearie, mate, you've agreed to pay Usain Bolt the entirety of the FFA's yep. Marquee Fund.
Yep,
whatever's left. Did you know, before we go, did you know this week Virat Kohli failed with the bat in England?
Yes.
And so he has dropped to number 2 in the world test batting rankings. And do you know who number 1 is?
Steve Smith.
No, this is not how a joke works, Andrew. You're supposed to say, no, who is it?
And then I go, who is it?
Steve Smith. He's currently suspended. How about that?
That's awesome. That's brilliant.
Hasn't played a test since when was the Ashes?
No, South Africa. About six months ago.
Yeah. Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want more tidbits like that, hit us up on Twitter at ASD_podcast. Go to facebook.com/sportingdiscussion.
ASD_radio. It's usually me that does that.
Oh, did I say podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
I'll chalk that one up on the whiteboard. Can you chalk something up on the whiteboard?
Yeah, you can.
All right, done.
No one's
ASD_radio.
Pretty young thing like you can do whatever you set your mind to.
On the Twitter box, ASD_radio. Facebook.com/sportingdiscussion. Sportingdiscussion.com.au.
Don't forget, when we put out the voice bite link, hit record, sign in, leave us your message, your question, your topic, answer. We'll put a few questions out as well. Or download the voice bite app. It's much, much easier to do it via the voice bite app. You can leave us a comment anytime you like.
Tell us what you think about the length of the AFL season, the NRL season, the Super Rugby season. Tell us what you think about the length of the actual games themselves.
That's right, Andrew. Are you back on Triple R on Monday morning?
Yes.
I know I ask this every week with a quizzical look, but I'm pretty sure you're doing it again.
7:15 Monday morning. Indeed, I will be there. This week's a little bit different because it is Radiothon time, so won't be talking about the sports. I'll be talking about Triple R and what community radio means to me and what it means to Melbourne. So,
yeah, cool. Yeah. That'd be good. We've got, like we mentioned before, we've got our chat with Ian Sison available as well through wherever you get your podcasts. There'll be another couple of things coming out pretty soon as well, as soon as I sit down and type them up.
Speaking of typing them up, you can read AJ on theraw.com.au, regular Wednesday column on the Rugby League.
That's right. I think we've ticked all the boxes here, haven't we?
Sounds about right. Clubraw.com. Go there. Submit your videos.
Lovely. We'll see you all next week.
See ya.